This morning, our New Testament reading comes from the book of Revelation, chapter 22, verses 12 through 14, 16 through 17, and 20 through 21. See, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, to repay according to everyone's work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, so that they will have the right to the tree of life. They may enter the gate or the city by the gates. It is I, Jesus, who sent my angel to you with this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let everyone who hears say, come. Let everyone who is thirsty come. Let anyone who wishes take the water of life as a gift. The one who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all the saints. Amen. This is the word of our Lord. Today is Mother's Day, and since it is Mother's Day, that means that all the boys and girls in the entire world are on their best behavior. Tomorrow, they will return to their regular defiant selves. But today, because it is Mother's Day, they are nice and kind and thoughtful and considerate. And since it is Mother's Day, that means that most of the boys and girls in the world woke up this morning and they made their mom breakfast. They picked her flowers from the yard. They did chores without being asked, or they made her a card. I know these things because I was once a young girl who did these things. And as a young child, I absolutely dreaded Mother's Day, because it meant that I had to be nice and considerate and thoughtful. It meant that I had to get along with my sister. It meant that I had to do whatever my mom wanted to do for the entire day instead of being able to go outside and play with my friends. As an adult, it's interesting to look back and to think about these things, to think about how selfish I was, how I didn't appreciate all that my mom did for me, how I had no clue what all it took to be a mom and what all she sacrificed. As a child, she was just mom. She made my whole world function without a glitch, and since she did it so effortlessly, then I thought it was no big deal. I had no idea what all it took to pull it off, to take care of me and my other two siblings. But being a mom is hard work. It's a lifelong job. And for the most part, moms are underacknowledged. They're underappreciated. No one sees just how much goes into being a mom. Unfortunately, the television programs play into this as well. We see moms on TV and they make it look so easy. We see Claire Huxtable from The Cosby Show, how she was raising six kids, had a spotless house, was pursuing a prestigious career, and she did it all with a smile on her face. So we say, see, it's easy to raise six kids. Or we see Carol Brady, how she was also parenting six kids, and she did it with a smile on her face, never once raised her voice. Or June Cleaver, who was the perfect ideal mom. She was warm, devoted, always had fresh baked cookies, always had nice words to share. The television programs make it look easy to be a mom. But for those of you who are doing it in real life, you know that it is hard work and you know what it takes to pull it all off. You know that there are some days when you cannot get your kids to quit fighting. You know that you cannot get them to eat their dinner or to put their seatbelt on in the car. Some days you cannot get the baby to quit crying, or you're just exhausted from chasing your two-year-old around. There are some days when you don't have one single minute to yourself to just breathe. And there are other days when all there is left to do but is to pray. To pray for patience, to pray for kind words to come out of your mouth, to pray for baby Jesus to come down and intervene in some way, to bring peace back into your lives. And it is okay to feel that way, because that is real life. Claire Huxtable, June Cleaver, Carol Brady, that's not real life. What you guys are doing is the nitty-gritty, real-life hard stuff. Even those of us who don't have children, who do half as much as you do, we hit our breaking points. We still cry out to Jesus to intervene in some way, to help us, to bring peace back into our lives. In our passage from Revelation this morning, that's exactly what those early Christians were doing. They were crying out to Jesus, asking them to return to comfort them, to bring peace back to their lives. In our passage from Revelations, the early Christians were crying out to Jesus because they had left them. He had ascended into heaven. They were sad and distraught because their leader was God. He was no longer with them in bodily form. The early Christians were also crying out because they were experiencing severe persecution. The Roman Empire was fighting tirelessly against them. So they were praying and pleading for Jesus to return, to intervene in some way. They were crying out for him to comfort them, to bring peace and harmony back. As the early Christians experienced their own times of distress and cried out to Jesus, Jesus responded to them. He told them that he would return soon. He reassured them that there was no reason to be sad or distraught, that he would soon return. And then he issued a standing invitation to them. He invited them to cry out for him whenever they needed him. He said, "Let the one who is thirsty cry out. Let the one who wants the life-giving water to cry out to me." And he promised to always answer them, to answer their cries of distress and come to their aid. Now, there are a lot of wonderful moms here today. There are moms who are raising 3 kids or more. And you guys are making it work. There are moms who are expecting. They're gearing up for their big day. There are moms who are raising twin 2-year-olds. So that's a feat in itself. There are moms who have already raised their children, and they are still continue to be that ever-present, loving mother. We know the hard work it takes to be a mom. And in those times when you are stressed, Christ invites you to empty yourself of all your worries and your fears and your deepest woes. He promises to answer you in that time of need. He promises to provide rest for you when you need it, to bring peace to you on the hardest days. He promises to provide you with guidance and wisdom. He promises to reassure you on those days when you doubt yourself as a parent. This was the standing invitation to the early Christians, and it remains the invitation to each of us. Now, this past week, as I thought about Mother's Day, as I thought about everything that moms do and the struggles that they face, I also thought about all the kids in the world. I thought about all the kids who face their own struggles, the kids who woke up this morning and they dreaded Mother's Day, not because they had to behave and be nice to their brother or sister, but because they don't have a mom. I thought about the kids who don't have a mom to pick flowers for or to make a card for. I thought about the kids who bounce around in foster care homes and residential agencies. Last week, a man named Ricky Creech was here and to share some words and some thoughts about his program in Buckhorn, Kentucky. Ricky is the president of Buckhorn Child and Family Services, which is a residential foster care program in Buckhorn, Kentucky. Buckhorn, Kentucky is a very remote area, a very impoverished area. And this agency is allowing for tons of kids from the state of Kentucky to come there and receive services, live there on campus. This agency is huge. There's 2 campuses. One of the campuses operates on 600 acres of land. They have a foster care program for autistic children. They reach out to boys and girls, so they have 2 different sites for those as well. But what Ricky does, what this agency does, is they house the worst of the worst cases in Kentucky. So the cases where these kids have bounced around to 26 different foster homes or different residential programs, and nobody else wants to take them. Nobody else wants to house them because they're so defiant. And so they call Ricky up, and Ricky says, "Bring them to me. We will take care of them." Some of the stories that Ricky shared with us were just downright heartbreaking. Some stories about how kids are sexually abused from age 5 on up until CPS can remove them from the home. Stories about how children have just been so abused, either physically or sexually, so neglected, that by the time they get to Ricky and this agency, they're crying out. They're crying out because they want to die. They say things like, "Hell is better than my current life." So these are the kids that are coming to Ricky's agency, to this place in Buckhorn. I enjoyed meeting Ricky, hearing about what he's doing. They were touching stories. I look forward to partnering with him. This is a potential mission site for us. But I share this information with you all this morning because these kids are crying out. They're crying out for Christ's love and Christ's peace. They're crying out for compassion and healing. And we can answer those cries for them. Before Ricky left, he talked about how for $25 a month, you can sponsor a child. You can write to this child. You can send them letters of encouragement and of warmth and love. You can receive letters from them. You can receive pictures. You can receive background information about their case. But you can sponsor a child, and most of all, you can help them to know that they're not alone in this world, that there is somebody that's a few states away that's thinking about them, that's praying for them, that loves them. And if you go down on the mission trip with us, then you can meet those children in person. But it's just $25 a month to sponsor a child and to have such a huge impact on their life. So if you feel called to this, if you feel moved by this information, please see me directly after the service. I have a pad and a piece of paper up here so that I can sign people up. And we can start sponsoring some of those children in Buckhorn, Kentucky. Friends, Jesus invites all of us to cry out to him during our greatest times of need. He promises to hear us and to answer us during those times. So when we face our greatest trials in life, may we all remember that. May we cry out to him. May we trust in his promises to us. May we also realize that we are to be Christ for other people. We are to be Christ's love and Christ's peace for other people who are experiencing their own times of greatest need and distress. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.